the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Let me begin with a story you may have heard before. It is about the Pope in New York. He goes to New York and picked up by a limousine at the airport. He looks at the beautiful car and says to the driver, "You know, I hardly ever get to drive. Would you please let me?" The driver, understandably hesitant, and says, "I'm sorry, but I don't think I can. I'm supposed to do that." But the Pope persists, "Pretty please." The driver finally lets up. All right, I can really say no to the Pope. So the Pope takes the wheel. The boy, is he a speed demon? He hits the gas and goes around 100 miles in a 45 miles speed zone. A policeman notices and pulls him over. Cop walks up and asks to roll down the window. Startled and surprised, the young officer asks the Pope to wait a minute. He goes back to his patrol car and radios the chief. "Chief, I have a problem." "What sort of problem?" "Well, you see, I pulled over this guy for driving over the speed limit. But it is someone very important." "Important like the mayor?" "No, much more than that, chief." "Is it the governor?" "No, way more than that." "Like the president?" And cop said, "More. Who can be more important than the president?" Well, the cop said that, "I don't know, but he got the Pope driving the car for him." Of course, he didn't see who was sitting behind. Our gospel lesson for today is the tail end of a passage that says multitudes of people came to John the Baptist. They came from far and wide, from all walks of life, peasants and soldiers and tax collectors, temple hierarchy. They all thought John the Baptist was so great that he might be the Messiah they were waiting for hundreds of years. John was brave. His impassioned preaching was so inspiring that it made people come in droves for baptism of repentance. And they were about to declare him as their Messiah. But John told them they were mistaking the messenger for the message. John said that he was not the real thing. He said, "Look, the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I." John contrasted himself with one greater than him graphically by saying that he was not worthy to even untie the thong of his sandals. John also rated his own baptism as inferior to the baptism the one who is greater than him going to offer. Today is the first Sunday in the Epiphany season, and the first Sunday is always celebrated as the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And what is the significance of baptism for us? And why do we celebrate the feast of the baptism of our Lord? After the fiery words of John concerning Jesus, it is a surprise for us, just as it was for John, that Jesus took the baptism of John. After all the people, Jesus also took the baptism. The ordinariness of Jesus' baptism appears to us also as very strange and unsettling. Why would the Messiah, the sinless one, submit himself to the baptism of John that was meant for the sinful and ordinary people like us, who need to really repent for the forgiveness of our sins? Well, here is the clincher. By submitting himself to the ritual of baptism of John, Jesus once again showed his identification with the people, with Israel's hopes, and with the desire of many to make a new beginning with their God. And it also serves as the first signal of Jesus sharing in the stigma of human sinfulness. Jesus' baptism, though started out like an ordinary baptism of John, turned out to be something totally extraordinary. Unlike the other baptisms of John, at Jesus' baptism, Luke reports that Jesus prayed. Again, showing his simple and humble piety, and as a sign of something huge and a turning point in his life and in his ministry. The ordinariness of baptism cracks apart first with the heavens opening, second, the Holy Spirit descending upon him, and third, a voice from heaven declared, "You are my son, in whom I am well pleased." All these extraordinary happenings help us understand that Jesus' baptism was not for the forgiveness of sins, but was meant as a theophany in which Jesus is identified as God's beloved son, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he was commissioned to fulfill the vocation as the Messiah. While John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sins, the baptism of Jesus, which the church today offers, represents our identity as children of God and our commissioning as servants of God's ministry and mission in the world. Christian baptism serves us as something that binds us all together. See, I was born and brought up in a remote place in India, and you are all here, many of you are from different places, and you are here today in this church, and we are all connected. How are we connected? Not through blood, but through the water of baptism. All over the world, Christians are connected to each other through the water of baptism. Imagine how powerful that is. Regardless of the race, regardless of gender, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of anything that you can imagine, all the Christians are bound together by the water of baptism. In a way, water is thicker than the blood. So this is that baptism that Jesus took on that day from John. And through this baptism, we are also called to share in the eternal priesthood of all believers. In other words, we are all ordained, not just Koshi and David and the Deacon Joe and Deacon Dennis, but we are all ordained. Lay people are ordained at the time of their baptism. Next Sunday, is she here today? No. Brina Prado is going to be baptized into the church. It will be her ordination. And she's about hardly a year old. And what do we do in this church once we are ordained? And that is the key. This is the training place. Jesus lived out his baptism every day as he taught us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the dying, and share the good news with a broken world. As people who bear the name of Christian, God calls us to live out our baptism in the same way, caring for the needy and sharing the good news. We too are baptized to a mission of welcoming and redeeming sinners. Let us realize that our baptism was not an initiation of making it into an elite and prestigious club, like the Rotary Club or Lions Club or something like that, but rather joining a training place for discipleship who are still on the way. Church is not our destination. Rather, it is the place where we get trained to go out and live out our baptism. Through baptism, we are all ordained to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of all persons. So today, on this day of the feast of the baptism of our Lord, let us recommit ourselves to the ministry of the priesthood of all believers. Today, the world out there is in need of Christian presence. When Jesus said, "The harvest is full, but the laborers are few," did he not mean that we could no longer remain ensconced in the comfort of the staying within the four walls of this church? Today, our school children are failing because there are not enough mentors to help them dream a better future. Today, there are children in our schools who are homeless. Today, there are mothers with little ones needing help and need a helping hand to go through a rough patch in their lives. Today, there is a need for people to serve as volunteers at night in a cold blue shelter that is going to be opening in our own community, not too far from the church, about which Deacon Dennis will be talking shortly. These are the things that are happening in our community. And we are Christians, and we are here in the church, and we are called, we are ordained to do the ministry God has called us to do. So as you come forward to take communion today, let us rededicate ourselves, recommit ourselves to the work of God that we are called to at the time of our baptism. And you can do that by dipping your finger in the water that will be blessed in that bowl and make a cross on your forehead, rededicating ourselves for the work of God in this world.